It's February 2nd, 1936. In the morning when the bell awoke me, I was so overcome by drowsiness, which I could not shake off, that I jumped into the cold water, and after 2 minutes, the stiffness left me. When I came to meditation, a host of assumed thoughts swarmed into my head, so much so that I had to struggle throughout the whole meditation. It was the same during prayer time, but when Mass began, a strange silence and a joy filled my heart. Just then I saw Our Lady with the infant Jesus and the holy old man, St. Joseph, standing behind them. The Most Holy Mother said to me, "Take my dearest treasure," and she handed me the infant Jesus. When I took the infant Jesus in my arms, the Mother of God and St. Joseph disappeared. I was left alone with infant Jesus. I said to him, "Our Lord, that you are my Lord and Creator, even though you are so tiny." Jesus stretched his little arms out to me and looked at me with a smile. My spirit was filled with incomparable joy. Then suddenly, Jesus disappeared. And it was time for Holy Communion. I went with the other sisters to the Holy Table, my soul deeply moved. After Holy Communion, I heard these words in my soul: "I am in your heart, by whom you had in your arms." I then plead with Jesus for a certain soul, asking the Lord to grant him the grace to fight and take this trial from him, Father Sopoko. "As you ask, so shall it be, but his merit will not be lessened." Joy reigned in my soul, and that God is so good and merciful. God grants everything that we ask for him with trust. After each conversation with the Lord, my soul is extraordinarily strengthened, and a profound tranquility prevails therein and gives me such courage that I do not fear anything in the world, but fear only lest I make Jesus sad. O my Jesus, I implore you by goodness of your most sweet heart, let your anger diminish and so as your mercy. May your wounds be our shield against your Father's justice. I have come to know you, O God, as a source of mercy that vivifies and nourishes every soul. Oh, how great is mercy of the Lord! It surpasses all his other qualities. Mercy is the greatest attribute of God. Everything that surrounds me speaks to me of that. Everything that surrounds me speaks of me to me of this. Mercy is the life of souls. His compassion is inexhaustible. O Lord, look on us and deal with us according to your countless mercies, according to your great mercy. So, Jesus is merciful to us, and we have to be merciful for others. It's not one-sided. That mercy is the light of the heart of Jesus. We should have to share this heart with others. One time, I was in doubt as to whether what had happened to me had seriously offended the Lord Jesus or not. As I could not solve this doubt, I made up my mind not to go to communion before first going to confession. Although I immediately made an act of contrition, as it is my habit, to ask for forgiveness after the slightest transgression. During those days when I did not receive the communion, I did not feel the presence of God. This caused me unspeakable pain, but I took it as a punishment for sin. However, at the time of Holy Confession, I was reproached for not going to Holy Communion, because what had happened to me was not an obstacle to receive Holy Communion. After confession, I received Holy Communion, and I saw the Lord Jesus, who said to me, "No, my daughter, that you caused me more sorrow by not uniting yourself with me in Holy Communion than you did by that small transgression." Jesus expects us to be with him always, always, always. Of course, we have to be away from sinfulness. But for her, there's a kind of maybe scrupulosity, maybe kind of doubt that she dare not receive Holy Communion. But Jesus said, "Don't do that. I want to be with you, even though you have kind of doubt, not because you have sinned. Because sin, you consciously, you know that you are sinning. But times you thought, perhaps Jesus give you the space." But Jesus expects to be with us in Holy Communion. One day I saw a small chapel in which six sisters were receiving Holy Communion from a confessor, Father Sopuko, who was wearing a surplice and stole. There were no decorations and no needles in the chapel. After Holy Communion, I saw the Lord Jesus as he is presented in the image. Jesus was walking away, and I called to him, "How can you pass me by and not say anything to me, Lord? Without you, I shall do nothing. You must stay with me and bless me and this community and my country as well." Jesus made the sign of the cross and said, "Do not fear anything. I'm always with you." Even though Jesus didn't stop and speak to her. Oh, thank you, thank you. On the last 2 days before Lent, with an hour of propitiatory adoration with the girls, during both hours, I saw the Lord Jesus as he was after scourging. My soul felt such great pain that it seemed to me that I was experiencing all those torments in my own body and in my own soul. March 1st, 1936. Today, during Holy Mass, I experienced a strange force and urge to start realizing God's wishes. I had such a clear understanding of the things the Lord was asking of me that truly, if I were to say that I do not understand what God is demanding from me, I would be lying, because the Lord is making his will known to me so clearly and distinctly that I do not have the least shadow of a doubt about them. I realized that it would be the greatest ingratitude to deny any longer this undertaking which the Lord wishes to bring to fulfillment for his glory and the benefit of a great number of souls. And he is using me as a miserable tool through which to realize his eternal plans of mercy. Truly, how ungrateful my soul would be to resist God's will any longer. Nothing will stop me any longer, be it persecution, sufferings, sneers, threats, entreaties, hunger, cold, treachery, friendship, adversities, friends or enemies. Be it things I am experiencing now or things that will come in the future, or even the hatred of hell, nothing will deter me from doing the will of God. The will of God, always first. I'm not counting on my own strength, but on his omnipotence, for as he gave me the grace of knowing his holy will, he will also grant me the grace of fulfilling it. I cannot fail to mention how much my own lower nature receives this thing, manifesting its own desires, and there results within my soul a great struggle, the death of Jesus in the Garden of Olives. It's always struggling, human part and supernatural part. We know that we are all called by Jesus to do the will of the Father. At the same time, our body might tell us, oh, come on, don't work too hard, or take a rest, oh, come on, maybe not. And so I too cried out to God, the Eternal Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, O Lord. May your will be done. What I am about to go through is no secret to me, but with full knowledge, accept whatever you sent me. Lord, I trust in you, O merciful God, and I wish to be the first to manifest to you that confidence which you demand of souls. O eternal truth, help me and enlighten me along the roadways of life, and grant that your will be accomplished in me. So she's the secretary of the Divine Mercy. So first of all, she had experienced all these virtues. That means today, we have the same temptation, not to trust so much in the Lord. And she experienced first. She wrote it down to let us know. It's natural at times. You don't feel that you're called to follow him. My God, I desire nothing but the fulfillment of your will. It does not matter whether it will be easy or difficult. I feel an extraordinary force driving me to action. One thing alone holds me back, and this is holy obedience. O my Jesus, you urge me on the one hand and hold me back and restrain me on the other. In these two, O my Jesus, may your holy will be done. So she has only two wills. One will is to, I think, is to start a new congregation. Maybe something, you know. And then the superior, the bishop, you know. Maybe you hold it, not the time yet, you know. So she asked him, Jesus, what is your will? To do something that you give me in my soul, that you start a new thing. And then the view of the bishop or her superior, they don't know, have the same idea. So, two wills of God for her. How do you distinguish, no? At times we have encountered these things. On one hand, you know that you're as a legion of Mary, or that you have to do these things, that, you know, come to church. And at times, the family asking you to stay and do other things, and then you were asking, well, I have to go to church now or go stay home and do it. Many times it happened. I continue in these states without a break for many days. My physical strength declined and though I did not speak to anyone about it, nevertheless, Mother Superior noticed my pain and remarked that I had changed in appearance and was very pale. At times when we are undecided what to think, then our face doesn't look very good, and a bit gloomy. She told me to go to bed earlier and to sleep longer, and she had the cup of hot milk brought to me in the evening. She had a motherly heart love, a motherly heart full of care and tried to help me. But in the case of spiritual sufferings, external things have no influence and they do not bring much relief. It was from the confessional that I drew my strength in the consolation of knowing that it would not be long before I could begin to act. On Thursday, when I went to my cell, I saw over me the secret host in a great brightness. Then I heard a voice that seemed to be coming from above the host. In the host is your power. It will defend you. The Blessed Sacrament. Today, as we say, the Blessed Sacrament is the is the sign of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, external sign of Sacred Heart of Jesus. After these words, the vision disappeared, but a strange power entered my soul, and a strange light as to what our love for God consists in, namely, in doing His will. O Holy Trinity, Eternal God, I want to shine in the crown of your mercy as a tiny gem whose beauty depends on the ray of your light and of your inscrutable mercy. All that is beautiful in my soul is yours, O God. Of myself, I am ever nothing. At the beginning of Lent, I asked my confessor for some mortification for this time of fast. I was told not to cut down on my food, but while eating, to meditate on how the Lord Jesus on the cross accepted vinegar and gall. This would be my mortification. I didn't know that this would be so beneficial to my soul. The benefit is that I am meditating constantly on His sorrowful passion, and so while I'm eating, I'm not preoccupied with what I'm eating, but I'm reflecting on my Lord's death. At the beginning of Lent, I also asked to have the subject of my particular exam changed, and I was told to do everything with the pure intention of reparation for poor sinners. This keeps me in continual union with God, and this intention perfects my actions, because everything I do is done for immortal souls. All hardships and fatigue are as nothing when I think that they reconcile sinful souls with God. So during Lent, whatever you do, just to offer it for sinners, it's helpful. Still 2 weeks, huh? Still have time. Mary is my instructress, who is ever teaching me how to live for God. My spirit brightens up in your gentleness and your humility, O Mary. On one occasion, as I dropped by the chapel for a 5-minute adoration and was praying for a certain soul, I came to understand that God does not always accept my petitions for the souls we have in mind, but directs these to other souls. Stranger, you pray for A and then the grace goes to B. Hence, although we do not relieve the souls we intended to relieve in the purgatorial suffering, still our prayer is not lost. So she's praying for souls in the purgatory. Maybe she's praying for some sisters that she know, and then that sister couldn't get the merit and goes to others. Intimate communion of a soul with God. God approaches a soul in a special way, known only to Himself and to the soul. No one perceives this mysterious union. Love presides in this union, and everything is achieved by love alone. Jesus gave Himself to the soul in a gentle and sweet manner, and in His death there is peace. He grants the souls many graces and make it capable of sharing His eternal thoughts. And frequently, He reveals to it His divine plans. So Jesus always, when we receive Holy Communion, He's so gentle. He gives all the lights for our sanctification that you can bring forth. But we may ask, how come we don't experience these things? Because you're not listening. You're not there. Is it possible? You receive Holy Communion, but you're not there. Fly away. Immediately, so many distractions, so many things to be done last minute, especially those feasts on surface. When they receive and then going up, of course, you you're aware that Jesus is in you, but then you look at everything, look around the camera. I don't know how to change this. You're doing service of God. This is the will of God for you also. You need to combine two wills of God together. Father Andres told me that it would be a good thing to have in God's church a group of souls who would beg for his mercy, because in fact, we are all in need of that mercy. After these words, an extraordinary light filled my soul. Oh, how good it is the Lord. March 18, 1936. Once I asked the Lord Jesus to take the first step by bringing about some change or some external event, or by letting them expel me, as I found it impossible to leave the congregation on my own initiative. I find it so hard to live. So she thought, my Jesus, that she's got something wrong, and kick her out, and she can start a new thing. Very simple mind, huh? She can come out, go out, but it's not the will of God for her. And I was in angry over this for more than 3 hours. I could not pray, but kept submitting my will to the will of God. The next morning, Mother Superior Borgia told me the Mother General Michael was transferring me to Warsaw. I answered Mother that perhaps I should not go, but leave the congregation directly from here. I regarded this be the external sign for which I had been asking God. Mother Superior made no reply. But after some time, she called me again and said, You know what, sister? Go anyway, and don't worry about wasting a trip, even if you should return immediately. I answered, all right, I will go. Although my heart was seized with pain, because I knew that by this trip, this matter would be delayed. However, I try always to be obedient, despite everything. In the evening, when I was praying, the Mother of God told me, your lives must be like mine, quiet and hidden, in a ceasing union with God, praying for humanity and preparing the world for the second coming of God. Listen again, the word of Heavenly Mother, and today's feast. Annunciation, we celebrate our church, our parish today. Your lives must be like mine, quiet and hidden, in a ceasing union with God. Quiet not because there's nothing to do, but you have time to be the one with the Lord. Pleading for humanity and preparing the world for the second coming of God. So always in mind. That's important. Don't just keep silent and be a fool. No. Don't do not know a stupid fellow. Just keep silent. It's not that. It's not silence. Silence means union with the Lord. Preparing. Praying for. Pleading for humanity and preparing the world for the second coming. Okay, so we do the same. Okay, the one last phrase. In the evening, during benediction, my soul was for some time in communion with God the Father. I felt I was in hand like a little child, in his hand like a little child. And I heard this word in my soul, do not fear anything, my daughter. All the adversaries will be shattered at my feet. At these words, a deep peace and a great interior calm entered my soul. So always, say yes to the will of the Father, God the Father. Okay, let us pray.